Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Tzadik Vav. The Gemara, almost halfway down Amud Aleph, asks a Shailo, Boy Rabbi Barachama, Shailo Liriva Mahu. Somebody who borrowed a cow from his friend in order to be Reveya it. Rashi explains the Gemara, Shailo is Mahu Mechayiv Boinzer Eloi. Is he Chayiv an Oinzin on such a Shailo? The Rambam will see soon, Bezer Hashem learns. Differently in the understanding of Gemara Shiloh. Al-Kopanim, the Gemara Shiloh, according to Rashi, is somebody who borrows a parah in order to be roivea it, is he chayiv be'ointzim, and the tzadim of the Shiloh are, do we say, ki the Shiloh inshi be'inon, in order for somebody to be considered a regular shayl, he has to borrow it the way people normally borrow animals. And that's not the normal manner, the normal purpose of borrowing. Therefore, he won't be chayiv be'ointzim. Or do we say that since Lamaisa is having Hano, he's deriving benefit from the animal, therefore he's going to be Chayiv Ba'insin? Now the Gemara's Tzadim really do need a bit of an explanation. What's the idea that you need Kiddush Shaili Inshi? And what is the opposite Tzad Lamaisa? There is some sort of a Hano, so therefore it'll be Chayiv. So the Chiddush Harim actually explains. But the Gemara Sofik is like this. The Torah says, V'chishal ish meim re'ehu, somebody borrows. Now normally when the Torah says that a person does something, the normal understanding is, like the derech, the normal way of it being done. When the Torah says, L'soichal, one should not eat something, either it's nevela or machalas asuras, whatever it is, the Torah is talking about derech achilu, the way a person normally eats. So likewise, the Gemara understands, it's possible to say when the Torah says, V'chishal, the Torah means, in a normal manner of borrowing. And therefore he won't be chayiv ba'insim because it's not a normal manner of doing a shiloh. The other tzad in the Gemara is, since every person who borrows something is to derive benefit from it, and that's what the Torah is machayiv ba'insim by a shiloh for, because he's deriving hanoah. Therefore, we're not going to really look at what kind of hanoah. As long as there's some sort of hanoah, even though it's not the regular sort of hanoah, even though the Torah forbids that, nevertheless, since it goes under the headline, under the umbrella of having Hano, that'll be enough to mechayev the person for Einstein, and that's the Tutsdadim the Gemara Shiloh. The Gemara continues with another Shiloh. Shiloh le'roizbo, if he borrowed it not to actually use the cow to plow or for milk or anything like that, rather he borrowed the cow in order just to be seen with it, so people should think that he's a person of means. People will think he's wealthy and they'll be easy to lend money to him. So the Gemara asks, is that considered a proper shiloh for one to be chayiv ba'insin, according to the way Rashi learns the Gemara? Mao mamayna binon v'ho'i, could we say that in order to be chayiv ba'insin, he has to lend him something worth money, which this cow is? Or do we say that in order for somebody to be chayiv ba'insin, it has to be a case where he borrowed something, where he has hana'as mamayn, over here he has no hana'as mamayn. He is not using the animal per se, he's just being seen with it. True, there's a peripheral benefit, but he's not actually using the para itself. That's how Taisus explains, Mamayna bina va'ika, there is some mamayna that he's giving him, some hano. However, it's not mamayna de mashanimine, he's not using that mamayna itself. And the Chiddush Harim actually sharpens this idea that for the hano, that the shayl gets, it's not something he would pay for. The klal is, Kail and Mara do not have in it din of me'ilah, there's no gezel in koil and mara. If somebody sees something, somebody doesn't want him to see, there's no din gezel. If somebody hears something, he can't possibly steal the hanoah of hearing somebody's voice. Therefore, the entire hanoah of this shiloh, of this borrowing, is really something that doesn't have any monetary value in it. True, the shiloh would pay for the hanoah that he has to look like he's rich, but in the use of the behemoth, there's no real monetary ano. More than it's zanin of zelichoser, he's having ano, whereas the mashal is not losing anything. Therefore, it's not considered that he's really getting a real use of the behemoth. He's getting a ano where people are tricking themselves, they're fooling themselves into believing that the shayl is rich, but it's not a real use, it's a peripheral ano that he gets from the behemoth that doesn't have any real monetary value in and of itself. True, he'd pay for the use of the behemoth, but it's not considered a hano that's worth money. So that's the Gemara Shail. Do we say that Lamaisa he was borrowed something that's worth money? He got something that has value. The para is worth money, and he has something that he would pay for. He valued it. It definitely has some sort of a value that he could do mashicha, he could take it into his rishus, and thus trick people into believing it's his. Or do we say it has to be a minor de mishanamine, that when the Torah says a person's chayv einson for borrowing something, it has to be that he's actually having a direct hanah from what he's borrowing and not a peripheral hanah that comes about by virtue of the loan itself. It has to be there's some other hanah where he uses the borrowed item. That's how the Chiddush Arim explains Shitas HaTaisus. Now, this Gemara really has a nafkamina lahalacha, besides the actual shiloh. The Machne Ephraim talks about what's the din according to the way Rashi learned the Gemara shiloh over here, if Reuven borrowed a sefer from Shimon to learn from it. So the Machne Ephraim asserts that since Mitzvah Sadlah understand, no? So, L'chayr, it's not considered a hanas moment. And the Gemara says, according to one sad, that the reason Shaloh Leroyzbo is not going to be considered a Shaloh is Chayv Einsin is because Dilma Maimon the Islay Hanomine Be'inan Veleka. There's no Hanas Mamun. Likewise, learning from a Sefer is not considered a Hanas Mamun, and therefore, according to that side of the Gemara, he's going to be Potter Me Einsin. The Gemara is not Pesha the Abaya. There is no real Psak to this. So, L'chayr, if somebody borrows a Sefer to learn from it, according to this Gemara, since he doesn't have Anos Mamun, as Mitzvah Slav Lahanis didn't know, he should be Potter Me'ainsin. Rabbi Kivega writes the same way by somebody who borrows a shofar. He writes that in the beginning of Simon Shin Mem. If somebody borrowed a shofar and was Nenas, he's going to be Potter because Mitzvah Slav Lahanis didn't know. According to Rashi's explanation of the Gemara Al-Kobanim, we'll see, according to the Rambam, this won't apply. The Rambam learns a different chat in the Gemara, as we're going to see soon, Bezer Hashem. There are some Sameach, however, disagrees in the Machne Ephraim. He says, of course, if somebody borrows a sefer, if somebody borrows a shofar, and it's nenas for him, of course it'll be chayv ba'insan like any regular shoyl. Aye, the Gemara says that if somebody borrowed a parley roy's boy to be seen with it, since it's not a hanoas moment, he's going to be potter ba'insan, according to one side of the Gemara. The Arsameach explains that's because what the Gemara means to say that it's not a hanas moment because normally the use of a para is to use it to plow or to do something else that a para does. The normal hana by a para is hanas moment. Here he's using a peripheral hana, an outside hana, something external, not part of the use of the para itself. That the Gemara has a tat to say that's not going to be considered a shayla that Torah is talking about to mechayvim and einsin. However, a sefer, the normal tashmish of a sefer is to learn from it. True, he's not nana hanas mamain because halacha has mitzvah slav lahanis that. Nevertheless, that is the normal standard use to take a sefer and to be nana from it, something that a person doesn't have an from. That, of course, is going to be considered a shayl, and therefore, there's no question if somebody borrows a shayfer, a lulav, a sefer to do a mitzvah with, even though mitzvah slav lahanis didn't know, he'll be chayiv ba'insin because that's the normal shimush. The Gemara continues and asks another shiloh, if he borrowed it to do a malacha that's less than a shavah pruta, is that considered a shiloh to be chayv and einsin? If he borrowed two paras to do the work of a pruta, same shiloh, is that considered a shiloh to be chayv but einsin? The Gemara says, do we go busher the shiloh and mashal and the maisa there is a hanah of a pruta, or do we say each para separately is not a hanah of a pruta, and therefore he's going to be Potter. Parenthetically, this Gemara is very comparable to the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara asks the Shiloh, if Reuven offered a pruta to Shimon to mekadish two of Shimon's daughters to two of his sons, the Gemara asks the Shiloh, Basar, nice and mekabel is leading. Do we go after the one who gives the pruta and the one who accepts the pruta, and there is a pruta, and therefore both daughters of Shimon will be mekadish to Shimon's sons, or do we say that Basar do as Leinan, you go after the Maisa Kedushin per se, each Maisa Kedushin, and therefore there's no Pruta for each one, there's only half a Pruta, and therefore they won't be Mukudashas. Actually, Rekiv Eger over there in Kedushin Hazayin Amud Beis says Ayin Bab Masiyah Da Tzadik Vav. Rekiv Eger actually draws the comparison between the two Gemaras. In both cases, the Gemaras are Suffolk, do we go after each individual transaction when there isn't a Pruta for each one, and therefore and Kedushin won't be Kedushin, and over here it won't be considered a Shiloh. Or do we go after the ones who are making the transaction, and therefore by Kiddushin it will be Kiddushin, because there is actually a Purta that goes between Shimon and Reuben, and over here will be considered a Shaila, because Lamaisa, the Shaila is getting the Hanoah of a Purta. Clearly, differences can be drawn between the two sugyas. It's not an ironclad comparison Kivig is making, it's just some similarity between the two Gemaras, but of course not Mochach, that one Gemara will be totally in the next. I thought it was an interesting footnote. Let's get back to the Gemara. The Gemara, like we said, brought different shilas. If he borrowed it to do Revia, he borrowed it to have it with him to look rich. If he borrowed a para in order to do work that's less than the Shavu Pruta, he borrowed a couple paras in order to do with each one a half Pruta. All these shilas we explained according to Rashi is that the Gemara is questioning, is he considered a shayla to be chayv and einzin or not? Do we say that's not called a shayla and therefore he's not going to be chayv and einzin? If it was shayla b'bailam, in all these cases, according to Rashi, of course it'd be potter. The whole shayla is he considered an oil to be chayv and einzin? However, according to the Rambam, the Gemara shayla is an entirely different issue. The Gemara shayla is, do we say in these cases where it's a funny kind of shayla, if he borrows it and there was Bol of Imoy, B'shasa Shailah, do we say it's considered Bol of Imoy to pater him al Shailah B'bailam? Do we say since these aren't regular kinds of cases of Shailah, there's no Ptur Shailah B'bailam? The Gemara's Shailah is actually to be Machmer on the Shail, not to pater him. The Shailah is there a Ptur of Bol of Imoy even in these cases? But of course, the Gabi Oinsim, of course he's Chayiv. Now the Lech Mishnah has a very hard time understanding the Rambam. How could the Rambam say that if he's going to borrow Paro, let's say, Le'Roizbo? The Gemara is a Safik, if the Shailah B'Bailam is a Potter, Al Tzbal of Imoy or not. But if there's an Oinis, for sure it's going to be Chayiv. How do you explain something that's L'Chayir contradictory? If the Torah considers a Mishael to be Chayiv B'Oinsim by Shal Oli Roizbo or Shal Pachas Mipruta, so how could we then entertain the Tzad that he's not going to be Potter by Bal of Imoy because the Torah wasn't talking about it? You just said a second ago that he's Chayiv B'Oinsim because the Torah is talking about such a case of Shailah. So how is it possible to have a case where he's not going to be Potter al Tzbal of Imoy, at least that's a suffix in the Gemara, and yet he's for sure going to be Chayiv Einzim. So the Mishnah answers this Kasha by saying a beautiful chap. He says, it's possible that the Torah doesn't consider him a Shoyl when he borrows, when he does the Mashiach on the Para, because the Torah doesn't consider it a Shoyl. At the point of Mashiach HaSapara, when he takes it into his Rishos, he's not going to become a Shoyl. So therefore, if it's Baal of Imoy B'Shah Shailah, he's not going to be Potter al Shailah B'Bailim because it's taken out of Shailah, Pachs Mipruto, or Leroyzbo, or Lerivo, the Torah doesn't consider that a Shailah. However, when he uses it later on, at that point, he definitely is going to become a Shail, and therefore be Chayiv Einzim. Just like if someone's mafkid money by his friend, at the point of taking the money into his Rishus, the Nifkat doesn't become a Shail. Nevertheless, if he used it for his own use, he becomes a Shail on the money, and he's Chayiv Einzim. B'shas the Mashiach, he wasn't a Shail, but afterwards, by using it, he did become a Shail. Likewise over here, when he took the part into his Rishos, he's not considered a Shail. Less than a Pruta, the Torah doesn't consider him a Shail. If it's Leroyzbo, the Torah doesn't consider him a Shail, and that's out in the Gemara. Nevertheless, once he uses it, the Shimush itself makes him a Shail, and therefore he's Chayiv Einzim. The Chiddushim has a very hard time understanding this Lacha Mishnah. L'chayr, there's no comparison between our Gemara and the case where somebody got a pikadon of money and decided to use it later. Over there, when he got the pikadon of money, he didn't become a shayla at that point. At that point, he was taking it in the framework as a nifkad. He wasn't a shayla. When he decided to use it later on, at that point, he changed positions and he became a shayla. However, over here, he's a shayla immediately. If the shimush of doing revia, or the shimush of a less than a shavapruta, l'roizba, is considered a shimush to make him a shayla at that point, so therefore, when he borrowed it, he was taking it in order to do such a shimush. So l'chayru, there's no way to split the maisa shimush with the mashiach when it takes into his rishus. So we're telling you such a maisa shimush makes him a shayl. Taking it in order to do such a shimush, such a use will make him a shayl as well. There's no reason to differentiate. Over there, by pikadon of the money, he didn't take it into his rishus al das to use. So, of course, he doesn't become a shayla at that point. Over here, he's taking it into his rishus al das to use. These interesting uses, if you say the use is going to make him into a shayla, then the taking it into his rishus to use it will make him a shayla as well. There's another kash that can be asked on the Lechem Mishnah. which the Chiddush Rishonim really asks himself later on, on Pshat that he said in the Rambam, if you're telling me he becomes a shayel when he starts using it, then if it's Baal Vimay at that point, Hitaka should be Potter. And it doesn't say anywhere that if it's Baal Vimay by the beginning of the use, that he's going to be Potter, because that shayel started there. The Chiddush Rishonim has different approaches to explain the Rambam himself. Anybody wants to see different Mahalchim, Ayin Sham. The Gemara continues, if somebody borrowed from two Shutfim, and one of the Shutfim that lent him the item that he borrowed, the parah, let's say, was working for him, b'shas, the shaila, do we say there's balavimai when one of the two mashilim, one of the two lenders, are working for the borrower? Do you need kuloi balav? Or is it enough to have half of the mailim to at least be potter, as the Gemara says, mehu palgadidei miyomifter? At least let the shayla be potter from that half. Now, Tysus points out that really, in Svara, there is no reason to say that he shouldn't be potter from half. The logic would dictate that if you need Baal Avimoy to potter entirely, if he has half of the Baal, then he should be potter, at least from half. Nevertheless, you see the Gemara is a suffix about it. So Tysus says, really, it's based how you teach the Xeris HaKosev. Since Baal Avimoy is Xeris HaKosev, according to Tysus, Meir will say, it's a Chiddush, Vein Lecha Baal Chiddush, you may need the entire Bailam, and one half of the Bailam, one of the two Shutfim, won't be enough, and there won't be a Dinah Shiloh of a Bailam at all, according to that side of the Gemara. Then the Gemara asks another Shiloh in the opposite direction. What happens if a Mashal lent it to Shutfim, and by the time of the Shiloh, he was working for one of the two Shutfim? Do we say that that Shutf is Potter in the event that the thing that was lent gets ruined, because it was Baal of Imai, at least for this one of the two Shailim? Or do we say, no, you need Kuloi Shail Be'inan, and therefore the Shail will be responsible to pay, even though it was Baal of Imai, since he's not the only Shail, he's not the entire entity of the Shail, there's another one, there are Shutfim, and therefore it's not considered Baal of Imai. And Melech Yosef is Medayik from here, a very basic yesod: when two people borrow something together, the Yerushalmi holds clearly that if Reuven and Shimon borrow money from Levi, that if Shimon doesn't pay his half, Reuven's going to have to cover for Shimon and pay Shimon's half as well. Afterwards, Reuven will go to Shimon and ask to be reimbursed. Now, there's really two ways of understanding this halacha. We can understand that when Reuven and Shimon borrow money together, really what's happening is they're both borrowers on the entire sum. They're both loivim on, let's say it's $100, so each one borrowed $100 from the malva as far as Bezin is concerned. And really, the malva can turn to either Reuven or Shimon for the $100, in the event that they don't each pay back 50. That's one way of understanding it. The other way is, of course, Reuven borrowed 50 and Shimon borrowed 50. The reason, if Shimon doesn't pay back the malva, Reuven's going to have to cover Shimon's tab. It's because when two people borrow together, the understanding is that each one borrows half, and each one is a arev for the other one's loan as well. Now, the rule is, you cannot go to the arev and ask for the loan back until you went to the leiva first. So for the malva to get the entire $100 from Reuven, he would really have to ask Reuven for 50, go after Shimon for 50. If Shimon can prove in Bezin, it's a long drawn out process, that he doesn't have the 50, then and only then can the Malva go back to Reuven and say, pay up your arvas. But it's not that Reuven really was a borrower for the entire $100. The Ruki Yosef proves from our Gemara, like the second approach, that each one is a borrower on half, and they're only chayv al tz'orev for the other half. Because our Gemara says that if two Shutfim borrowed something from the Mashal, and the Mashal was working for one of the Shutfim, let's say Reuven and Shimon borrowed a para from the Mashal, and the Mashal was working just for Reuven, the Gemara has it said that it's not going to be considered Baal of Imai, even for Reuven on his half, because you need Kuloi Shail Be'inan. You need the Mashal working for the entire Shail, and over here he's only working for half the entity of the Shail. He's only working for Reuven and not for Shimon. Now, if we were to say that when two people borrow something together, they're considered that each one is a a loiva. Each one is a shoyl, fully responsible for what was borrowed. If the halacha was that when Reuben and Shimon borrow $100 from the malva, Reuben is entirely responsible for the entire $100. So why over here does the Gemara understand that it's not kulei shayl? Reuben is the entire borrower. Reuben borrowed the entire borrow, and he's entirely responsible for it. If we understand that when there are two shutim who borrow something, each one is equally fully responsible, why does the Gemara understand, why does the Gemara accept that Reuben is not considered kulei shayl? Elomah, it must be, says the Muki Yosef, that he is a shayel just on half the para. And Shimon is a shayel just on half the para. True, if the para gets lost or stolen or nenas, Reuven may have to pay for the entire para if Shimon can't come up with the money. But that's only because he's an orif for what Shimon borrowed. But it's not that Reuven himself is considered that he borrowed the entire para. And therefore, the mashal cannot go to Reuven to demand the second half of the para until he actually tried to be Tavei Hashemen and Bezdin. That then Muki Yosef proves from our Gemara. However, the Ksais and Simon Ayin Zayin brings the Shita of the Rush and the Tur that hold that when Reuven and Shimon borrow $100 from a Malva, it's in fact considered that each one is a full Loiva, and technically the Malva can go to whoever he'd like to and demand the entire payment, as each one is fully responsible for the Chayiv. And then, if he was Tevei Reuven the entire $100, Reuven can go back to Shimon and ask for 50 for the half that he got. But the halacha is that they're both considered full loivim on the entire amount, according to the Rosh and the Torah. Ask the Ksais, what are they going to do with an Amukah Yisus Raya? L'chayr in our Gemara, it's a clear Raya that each one is considered a shayel, or in the case of a halacha, a loiva, on only half. As the Gemara says, Kula Shail Be'inon, and here, one of the two Shutfim who borrowed is not considered the entire Shail. So the Ksai says a beautiful mahalach to answer the sheet of the Rosh and the Torah. The Ksai says like this. He brings the sheet of Harambam in Hilchais Schirus Perak Aleph, that although Shmir of Abaylam is going to patter the Shemer from any Chiv, even from a Pshia, nevertheless, if he handed the pikkudim to another shomer, a shomer shemoser l'shomer. In such a case, even though when the first shomer got it, it was Shmir b'Bailam, he's going to be chayiv. There's no p'tur of Shmir b'Bailam by the shomer who handed it on to another shomer. And the Magid Mishnah explains, the whole p'tur of Shmir b'Bailam that it says in the Torah is only when the animal died in the reshus of the first shomer who had Ba'al of Imai, the mashal was working for him at the time of the Shaila. However, if he handed it on to another Shaymer's Rishos, even though Als Pshia he should be Potter, because Pshia Babaylam is also Potter, still, since it's not on the Rishos of the Shaymer, it's going to be considered a regular Pshia and is going to be Chayiv. Now the Ksais then goes on to explain really what happens when Reuven and Shimon are both considered in full Loivim on the full Schum of the $100. Technically, what's going on is each one is a loiva on the $100. Reuven borrowed $100, and he lent $50 to Shimon. That's where Shimon has a right to use those $50. Likewise, Shimon borrowed $100, and he lent $50 to Reuven. That same idea will apply to two shutfim who borrowed a behema from a mashal. Reuven borrowed the entire part from the mashal, and he's lending half the para, or half the use of the par al-kalpanim, to Shimon. Likewise, Shimon borrowed the entire par and is lending half of the para to Reuven. Says the Ksais, according to the Rosh and the Torah that hold these a shayl bekulai, what the Gemara shayla is, when the Gemara says, kulai shayl be'inon, and therefore there's a tzad that it won't be considered shmir of Bailam, even though they hold he borrowed each one independently, Reuven and Shimon borrowed the para entirely. Nevertheless, what happens when Reuven and Shimon borrow a para together? Reuven borrowed the entire para, and subsequently, it happens at the same time, but the dynamic of what happened is that he borrowed the entire para and lent half of it to Shimon. And Shimon did the same towards Reuven. Therefore, when the Gemara says, Kuli Shayil Beinon, does it have to be that it's entirely in the reshus of the shayil, and therefore Reuven's not going to be potter at all, because Lamaisa, half of the para half of the value of the parah, half of the chiyuv of the parah went over to Shimon? Or do we say, at least legabe this half that remained by Reuven, he's going to be potter al shmir of a mile, and that's the Gemara suffix. So in Mela, according to this explanation, there's no raya to the Numuki Yosef's understanding. The Rush and the Tur, who understand that somebody who borrows together with his shutif is considered a loivo or a shayel bekuloi, the Gemara makes sense with this mahalach as well. When the Gemara says kula shayel beinun, it means it has to remain entirely in his rishus. And here, technically, what happened is Reuven borrowed the entire para and lent half of it to his shutif. Now, getting back to the Gemara doesn't answer any of these shaylos. They all remain besafik. And therefore, shala le'roisba, and shala for half of a pruta, and two shutfim, all these different shilas, it's a suffix, and therefore, hamaitzi mechaver el varaya, you won't be able to mechay of the shayel in all the different sfeikas. However, the Rambam says that in the case where the mashal was typhus, he grabbed onto something of the shayel, misafik, because maybe the halach is that the shayel is chayiv. Let's say, Lamashal, somebody lent something to Shutfim. When it's Baal Avimai with one of the Shutfim, so there's a suffix in the Gemara. If Reuven, the Shutf who was Baal Avimai at the point of the Shiloh, is going to be chayiv to pay to the Mashal. If the Mashal grabbed money from Reuven, you can't be Maitzi. You can't take away the money from the Mashal, as there's a suffix in the Gemara. However, the Rambam writes in Perek Beis Halacha Ches, Mishailu Pikodoin, a very interesting addendum to this halacha. He writes, if it was Pasha Bahashomer, in a case where the Behemo or the Dover Hanishal got destroyed, ruined, or lost through Pshia, Hareza Mishalim. In such a case, the Shail will have to pay. In all the Shailas of the Gemara that are talking about the Shmir of Abaylam, according to the Rambam, that's really the entire sugya, from the first Shailah of Shaila L'Riva. According to Rashi, it's only the Shailah of Shal Min HaShutfim or Shal Tu Shutfim. Whatever the case is, wherever we're talking about a suffix of Shmira B'Bailim, normally Pshia B'Bailim is Pater as well. However, in all these cases of the Gemara, if it was a Pshia in these Sfeikas, Shaila L'Riva, Shaila L'Roizba, Shal Min HaShutfim, Shal Tu Shutfim, in all those cases, if it was Pshia, the Shail will have to pay. The Nais HaKelim have a very hard time explaining this. Why would we say that Alts regular Shmira B'Bailim, Shal L'Roizbo, or Shal Min HaShutfim is a Suffolk, and it'll be Pater, because I'm Mitzmer Chavayel of Araya. If it was a Pshia, then it'll be Chayiv. What possible difference could it make how the Behema got ruined? So the Magid Mishnah writes that since, according to the Rambam, we've spoken about this earlier in the Perek, that Pshia is Midin Mazik, he has a halacha of a Mazik. It's not a regular Chiyuv Shomrim. Of course, it's a Chiyuv of Chiyuv Shomrim. It's not an independent Chiyuv. Nevertheless, the Rambam writes that he's a Mazik. And therefore, the Rambam writes that there's a Chiyuv of Pshia by Karkois and Shtaris and Avodim, even though there's no Chiyuv Shmira by Avodim, Shtaris, and Karkois, because he's a Mazik. Likewise, the Rambam holds that any Pshia is a Mazik. Now, true, the Gemara says Pshia B'Bailim is Potter, even though he's a Mazik. Still, says the Magid Mishnah, V'kivin shu k'mazik, since he's like a Mazik, V'ein sham raya brura l'potrayim, and there's no clear raya to Potter him, chayiv l'shalom, then he's going to have to pay. Since it's not clear that he's Potter, he's mechuyav to pay because he's like a Mazik. That needs a beer l'chur, and the Magid Mishnah himself says, "Kfar kosafti shechalku alav l'chaim l'racha." Many of the Rishonim argue on the Rambam. The Rambam is a tremendous chiddush. L'maisa it's a safik. It's possible he's potter. If we knew in the Gemara that he's going to be considered a shmir of a bailam when it was shalom and ashutfim, if you don't need kulei shayel or you don't need kulei mashal, the Gemara held that he's for sure potter. So by pshia he'd be potter as well. So now that's a suffix. It should stay a suffix. And still, hamaitzim chaveri olav haraya, how could you be maitzi from the shayel? So Rabbi Chanan, Kavit Shurim, Rav Shach and Avi Ezri explain a very major yisoid with this. They say whenever there's clearly a sibud, when there's clearly a reason to be mechayiv, it's just that there's another reason, another din that comes to potter the person, and that's a suffix, We're going to say that the definite chiyuv is going to take precedence over power, the sofik ptur, and be mechayiv. By a regular case of shmirah b'bailam, what happens is we have a sofik, is he bechlal considered a shomer? When it's shmirah b'bailam, the question is, did the Torah consider him a shomer to be chayiv? In such a case, where it's shalom l'rois bo, shalom b'nashutfim, we don't know, was he nischayiv, was he not nischayiv? Because medina shmirah, there's a reason to say that he wasn't considered a shomer to be nischayiv. Meila, we're going to be pater him because of might smicha ve'el v'raya. However, by pesheya, where he's a mazik, when we have it sad to say he'll be pater because it's bebailim, it's not to say that he's not chayiv and he's not considered a shomer. No, he's considered a shomer. Just the halacha of shmir bebailim in such a case by pesheya is it's a ptur. The Torah said there is a chayiv and the Torah patered him. It's not that he's not considered a shomer who is never nischayiv. He's a mazik. He definitely was nischayiv. Just the Torah patters. It's another gather. It's another way of understanding the ptur of shmir of b'mailim. When there's a pshia, it's a different dynamic. It's a ptur. He's a mazik, but the Torah pattered him. The Torah can patter anybody. But kamli b'derabaminei, the person definitely did something that's mechayiv him. Nevertheless, kamli b'derabaminei is a ptur that the Torah gave. Rav Shach is medayek in the Rambam, when it's a sofik. If you were going to say kimli b'derabaminei, in such a case, he'll taka b'chayiv. Since there's a clear chiyuv and a sofik paiter, we're going to be maimed him, we're going to keep him with his cheskas chiyuv, with his halacha that he has to pay until we can prove that he's potter. Likewise over here, he definitely did something that should be mechayiv him. He was a mazik. You want to say he's potter, we don't know for sure that he's potter. Therefore, in such a case, the Rambam will paskin that he's going to be chayiv. As a sofik of the Gemara is a sofik to potter a definite chiyuv, we're not going to pater a definite chiyuv with a suffix ptur. We mentioned in the previous shir the way the Vilna Gaon explains in Bir Agra in Simon Shin Mem Vav that the reason the Rambam paters only by regular chiyuvim and not by shia b'bailim in the Gemara Sfeikas over here is because the Gemara, according to the Vilna Gaon, doesn't really paskin that pshia b'bailim is potter. It's just as a machlokes, Rav Achan Ravina. It's not clear how to paskin. So therefore, b'safik, we can't be mitzi mamin even by pshia b'bailim. However, in a case where the Gemara is a safik, shalom le'rois bo, shalom le'ashutfin, shalom le'riva, shalom pachas b'shava pruto, all these different cases, since the Gemara is not pashat the sfeikas as well, so we have two sfeikas to mechayiv. One side, that pshia b'bailim is really chayiv. And even if you say pshia b'bailim is potter, all the Gemara Shilas may be lechiyuv. It could be Shalman Ashutfin is chayiv. The Gemara is not Paishit Liftor. It's not 100% that he's Potter. It's only a Sofik. You have a Svek Sveka to be mechayiv. You have two reasons to be mechayiv. It could be Pshiv Abayim is chayiv. And it could be Shalman Ashutfin is chayiv. It could be Shalal Eroispo is chayiv. Therefore, in such a case, the Rambam paskins that by Pshiv and all the Svekas in the Gemara, he's going to have to pay. Now let's get back to the Gemara. The Gemara then asks another Shiloh. If a man borrowed from a woman something that was part of the Nechsei Melug that she brought to her husband, and the husband was Balav Imoy, he worked in the employ of the Shayel, does that make that Shayel become Shmir of a Baal? Because of the Baal's Schus in the Nechsei Melug. And the next Shayel, the Gemara asked the same question just in the opposite direction. If a woman borrowed something for the good of the Nechsei Melug, she borrowed a parah to plow the field that's Nechsei Melug, and the mashal was an employee of the husband. Do we say that the husband's chus in the Nechsei Melug, which is Kinyan Peiris, is that a Kinyan Aguf, and therefore he's considered the bailam of the Nechsei Melug, and therefore if a parah of the Nechsei Melug was lent and the husband was working for the shayel, that's going to be considered shmir b'bailam, because if you say kinyan peiros kinyan aguf, so then his chus in the para makes him the bailam, and so it's bal avimai. Or do we say no, kinyan peiros is lafka kinyan aguf, and therefore what the baal is in the employ of the shayel will not make it shmir b'bailam? And likewise, if the wife borrowed something for the nechsei melug, and the mashal was in the employ, was working for the husband, do we say that the husband's chus in the Nechsim Alug makes him the primary owner, and therefore it's considered Balav Imai in regards to this Shailo. The Gemara later brings Machlekes Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, if we say Kinyan Pesach Kinyan Aguf or not. Halacha we paskin, Raman paskins like that, the Shulchan Aruch paskins with Kinyan Pesach Lavke Kinyan Aguf, tell me, and therefore it's not considered Shailo B'Bailam. Now Tyson really asks the Kasha on the Gemara's Shailo. The Gemara asks if somebody borrowed from a woman, Nechsim Alug, is it considered Shailo B'Bailam if the Shail is in the employ of the husband, Shaktaisis, how can the wife lend out the Nechsim Alug? It's Meshubah to the husband. She can't do without the husband's Rishos. What kind of Shail is that? Shail Min Aisha. He can't. Only the husband can lend it out, L'chair. So Taisis answers, it's not true. The husband can't lend it out independently as well. He has to get her permission to lend it out. So the Gemara asks, Shoal Mino Isha, it means that he really borrowed from the husband, but he got the wife's approval as well. Without the wife's approval, the husband can't lend it out. It's Meshubid really for use in the house. And therefore, the Gemara asks, if he borrowed from the husband with the wife's approval, do we say that if he's working just for the husband, that's considered Shalom Abaylam? Second Heretz and Taisus is that when it says Shoal Mino Isha, it means he really just borrowed from the husband, and the second Heretz holds that really the husband doesn't need the approval of the wife. Now, the Ritva brings him Machlekes Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara Bechlal. There are two approaches to understanding the Shaila of a husband and wife by Nechsim Alug. One Mahalach the Ritva brings is, when the Gemara asks, if somebody borrowed Nechsim Alug and the husband was in the employ of the Shail, is that considered a Baal of Imai? That's all based on the previous Gemara. It's Imtin Saloimar, that by regular Shutfim that lent to a Shail, and one of the Shutfim was an employee of the Shail, is the Shail going to be Potter, Al Shmir Bailam, in half? Or do we say, Kulei Mashal Be'inon? On the Tzad that we said, Imtin Saloimar, that he's going to be Potter, then the Shail is, do we say that by a husband and wife as well? Or do we say, no, the Kinyan Peres is less than a Shutvis, and it won't be Shailah B'Bailim at all? But on the Tzad that by Shutvim we don't say Shailah B'Bailim, in that half at least, then there's no Tzad that will say that the husband is going to be considered, when he is in the employ of the Shail, it will be Shailah B'Bailim. However, the other Mahalach in the Ritva, which the Ritva holds, the Iker Mahalach, is that it has nothing to do with the Gemara's previous Shailah. Even if we're going to say by Shutfim that we don't say Shailah B'Bailam when one Shutf is the one working for the Shailah, or if one of the Shutfim is having the Mashal in his employ, it has nothing to do with the case of husband and wife. It could be in those cases we're going to say you need Kulei Shailah and Kulei Mashal, and yet by the husband he's considered the primary owner, and if he's going to work for the Shailah, or if the Shailah is working for him, it's going to be considered Shailah B'Bailam. Because the husband's considered Kulei Shail, a Kulei Mashal. His schus and the Nechsim Alug is primary, and therefore it has nothing to do with the Gemara's previous Shailah. Now, it's not Muchach, but it would be possible to say that according to the two truths we saw on Taisus, according to one Teretz, the husband is the one who has the entire rights of being able to lend out the Nechsim Alug, and according to the other Teretz in Taisus, it's only with the wife's permission. Those two terutzim might be actually parallel to the two mahalchim that we saw from the Ritva. If the husband has the right to lend it out by himself, so he's stronger than any regular shutif. Even if his wife doesn't want it to be lent out, since the husband can lend it out on his own volition, it's easily understood that the husband is kulei mashal. And likewise, according to that Teretz and Taisa, the Gemara says, Ha'isha shashallah, it would mean that the husband borrowed for the tzarech of the nechsim aluk that belonged to the wife. And that's the Gemara Shail. Is it considered Kulai Shail? Because Lamais, it's for the Tzairach of the Nechsim Alug, that although it belongs to the wife, the husband is the primary user, and therefore there's a Tzad to say that he's considered Kulai Shail. In the Teretz and Taisus, that the husband is really Meshubit to the wife, that although he has the Schus Peres, but Lamais, she can veto his Schus to lend it out, as the Peres that he has is also Meshubit to the Revach Besa, to the benefit of the house, the benefit of the wife, according to that, it's a lot easier to hear that he's not going to be considered Kulei Shail or Kulei Mashal, rather, He's just a shutif together with her, and therefore it would be totally in the previous Gemara. This is not mochach. Obviously, one can argue that these two machlekes that are not totally sebezeh, but it does seem logical to be totally the two terutzim and taisvas to the machlekes that the Ritter brings down. Now, the Gemara brings another shiloh. What happens if somebody tells a shliach, tsevi shayli in parasi, go and lend yourself to the shayl together with the cow of mine that I'm lending to the shayl? Is that considered shiloh b'balim or not? Do you need bal of mamish? As the Gemara says, v'leko. And in this case, it's not, it's just a shliach. Adil mushlucha shladim kemaisai. Or do we say that a shliach of a person is like the person himself, and therefore it's considered shiloh b'balim? Gemara then compares this shiloh to the machlekes Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yoshia, if a man can make a shliach to be made for his wife's nedarim. A husband can be made for his wife's nedarim. If a man told his shliach be made for the nedarim of my wife, according to Rabbi Yoshia, a person cannot make a shliach to be made for his wife's nedarim. As the Torah says, Ishahi kimenu v'ishahi feirenu. Only the husband can. And according to Rabbi Yonasan, we say, Ishluch shalom kemaisa, just like the husband can, his shliach can as well. Now, Taisa asks Akasha, this Gemara l'chayra seems very puzzling. What's the comparison between shiloh b'balim to nedarim? By nedarim, the reason we say that a man cannot make a shliach according to Rabbi Yishia to be made for his wife's nedarim, because the pasuk says ishah yikimenu v'ishah yifarenu, has to be dafka the husband. What does that have to do with shiloh b'balim? Where is there a specific drasha by shiloh b'balim to be made the shliach as well? So Taisus gives two terutzim. Taisus first answers that the Rabbi Yishia's reason is because it says twice Isha hikmenu v'isha hiferenu. It's memayit shliach because of the extra word Isha. So Taisus says by shiloh b'balim, Taisus says the word ba'olav twice. It could be the Torah means to be memayit shliach there as well. Taisus' second terutz is not from a drasha that Rabbi Yishia seemed to make. Rather, the word ba'olav and the word ishus denote a personal requirement of the husband, the personal requirement of the master of the chayvetz anishal. It has to be the mashal himself. The mashmos, the innate understanding of the word ba'olav and isha means the husband, according to Rabbi Yishia, or the ba'ilim, the actual mashal, and not a shliach, it's not a drasha, rather that's taich of the word. According to Rabbi Yonasan, we don't say that. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, in Dibur Smoshim, Sechtes Pesachim Simon Vav, stells on these Tzurutzim and Taisus. He asks, how does Taisus explain the Shita of Rabbi Yonasan? What's the machlaikis between Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yishia? Are they arguing if that's the mashmos of the word Ba'ala, of the word Yisha? Or does Rabbi Yonasan admit that it has a mashmos, it has an innate understanding of dafka the husband and dafka the bailam, and just for another reason he's arguing? So Rav Moshe goes on to explain a beautiful mahalach understanding this machlekes Rabbeinu and Rabbi Yishia and the sugi over here. Rav Moshe brings the famous kash of the Taisus Rid. Since we say shluch shladim kamaisai, why can't Reuven ask Shimon to put on tefillin and do the mitzvah for him? She might see him with shlichos. So the Taisus Rid answers, since the entire mitzvah is to do the act of putting on tefillin, in that case, nothing was left for the mishaleach. Normally, something has to be left for the mishaleach to say that he's considered doing the maisa, let's say by kedushin. True, the act of the kedushin is being done by the shliach, but the maisa, the woman is mekudesh, is the mishaleach, so you see that he's the real person that's being done for, whereas by tefillin, whereas by lulav, there's nothing left for the mishaleach to have the mitzvah be done for him. When the mitzvah is to create a te'elas, to have a outcome, so the outcome is that she should be mekudeshes. The outcome is that the truma should be chal, the ba'alim should be able to eat the tuah, so you can make a shliach to do the act, and the outcome remains the mishaleach. However, in a case where there's no outcome, where the entire shlichus is just to do the act, just the ma'isa mitzvah, just to put on tefillin, just learn Torah, you can't have a shliach do a maisa for you when there's no te'elas that's being come out of the mitzvah except the maisa itself. Iksais asks a kash on that. He has a different mahalach to explain why tefillin cannot be done through a shleach because the mitzvah is not to put on the tefillin, it's actually to have the tefillin on you. And that's not something that's shayach by shlichus, it's a mitzvah that's done with the person's guf, beyond the person's hand. There's no shlichus for such a thing. Ramesha says, according to this Taisus Rid, that the idea of shlichus is possible when there is a maisa with a te'elis that comes out, a secondary tachlis. It would seem that the svara should be that afaras nedarim can be done through a shliach. There's a maisa afar, and there's a te'elis that the tachlis that the neder should be mufar. However, Moshe says there's something unique about afaras nedarim. The reason afaras nedarim works, it's mavur in several sugyas in nedarim, in Yomamis and other places in Shas, is because kol nederes al das baal nederes. When a woman makes a neder, she's doing it on the das of the husband. If the husband will not be maskin, then she herself is mevatel neder mitzad atzma. She doesn't want the neder to be chal. It's only if her husband is going to be willing to accept this neder. Ad kedei kach, if the husband is only her husband midrabbanan, still the neder is not going to be chal. The husband could be mei for it, because she's neder al das bala. Rav Moshe even writes that if it's kiddushei tos, even if halachically they're not married, but they think they're married, Rav Moshe asserts that calling neder al das bala nederes, and if the husband was mefer and they found out afterwards that it was kiddushei tos, the neder is still considered mufar. So Rav Moshe says that hafaras nedarim doesn't work so much because of the act of the hafara the husband does. It's more, it's totally in her das. It's a midi de memela. It's something that happens by itself. Once the husband says, I'm made for the neder, then automatically the neder falls away by itself. It's not so much the act of afar that he does. He has to do some sort of an act of afar, but that's not the primary function of the hafara to be made for the neder, to uproot the neder by his word. It's more when he's megala his das that he doesn't want it. So the stipulation that she made subliminally, that she's not maskim for the neder to be chal unless the husband's maskim, that comes into effect, and therefore the neder is mufar. So hafaras nedarim is some sort of gray area. He's doing an act, but that act is not really what's bringing about the real chalois. It's just jump-starting a chalois that the Torah makes by itself. The Rabbi Yonos and Rabbi Yeshia argue. According to Rabbi Yeshia, the hafara comes mitzad the wife, not mitzad him. The ikur crux of the hafara is a gzeres hakosav. The Torah says the husband has to say the words mufar lach meila. It starts the dynamic where the stipulation that she didn't make clearly, she didn't say verbally say it, but she meant it, comes into effect, and meila the neder is bottled by itself. According to Rabbi Yeshia, you can't make a shliach for something that doesn't have secondary effect. It's not that the husband starts the hafara, does the ma'isa hafara, and then there's a chalos that happens afterwards. All the husband does is a ma'isa. It's like tefillin. He's not doing anything. He's just saying that the neder is mufar. He did nothing by saying that. It was just a pure act. Once he does that, it's exeris akosav, that her t'nai that she meant when she made the neder al das bala kicks in, and the neder is going to be bottled by itself, not because of the act he did. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshia holds, one can't make a shliach do such an act where there's no te'elas, where there's no secondary ramification. The ramification that happens all by itself, not because he did anything, and not because of his ma'isafor. It's just like there's a kosov, he has to say those words. According to Rabbi Yonasan, true, it's kolon deres and das ba'al and deres, but lamaisa, it's the husband's power, it's the husband's kayach. When he says mufar lach, what he's actually doing is he's taka breaking the nether, he's uprooting the nether. And a chanami, taka works because kol nederes al das bala nederes, but still he's doing it with his dibur, and therefore one can make a shleach, do the act of afara, because after he does the maisa afara, there's a chalois that comes out of that. Actually, Rav Moshe says in Rabbi Yeshia that when the Torah says, isha hikmenu, isha hifirenu, the idea is that the Torah is saying this svara, that she's saimachan is das, on him primarily, kolon deres das balon deres, and therefore he has to do it by himself. It's not a mute. In Taisha's second Torah, it's al kol panim. It's not that the Torah is saying a special drasha. The Torah is saying The husband is the one who she's relying on. She's being neider al daidai. And therefore, it's not shaykh to make a shliach to make a faras nedarim, because lemaisa, the hafara really comes about through her rotzin, through her das, not from the maisa hafara that the husband or his shliach makes. Now, Ramesha says that by shaylo v'vaylam, it's going to be the same thing. It's the same unique idea. What happens is, when the mashal works, does something for the shayl, he absolutely does not intend on pattering the shayl from shmir. That's not what he meant. Even if he doesn't know there's a halacha b'chlal, he didn't know there's a pasha shmir b'vaylam, the shayl will nevertheless be pater. It's a pure gzeiras hakasev. It needs an act of doing something for the shayl, but that act is not an act with a te'eles, with a secondary nafkamina. Because he did this act, therefore, the shayl is going to be a potter. It's a gzeiras hakasev. He has to do the act of doing a favor, working for the shayl, working for the shaymer. Memela the Taira patters the shayl, gzeiras hakasev, shmir b'maylam. It's not a regular act where he gives kedushin to a woman, mela she's mekudeshes. It's a gzeiras hakasev, and it's really not because of the act that the b'maylam did. Memela, here too, there's Machalikas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yoshi. Rabbi Yoshi says, since it's something that's memela, it's not an act that the shliach is doing. The shliach is doing a dry act, like putting on tefillin. There's no te'elis that comes out of the work that he's doing for the shayl. It's not, as in yeshivish terms, it's called a pael yote. It's not something that's a derivative of the act that he did. It's something that happens to happen after the mashal does work for the shayl. Such an act cannot be done through a shliach. It's like hafaras nedarim. However, according to Rabbi Yonasan, since lemaisa there's an act that he does, and because of that act there's a nafka mina lahalacha afterwards that comes out of it, because the mashal did something for the shayel, the Torah patters him. So in Mela, just like by hafaras nedarim, we consider that a maisa of the husband that he's made for, even though it's really exerts a cause of it, takes in afterwards and takes the husband's hafara, which really doesn't have a direct connection with the hafara, but that's enough to be considered a maisa that can allow a shliach. Likewise, by shayel b'maylam, the act of doing a favor to the shayel, since it has a halachic ramification, since because of that he becomes a shayel b'maylam, and it patters the shayel from chiyuvim to the mashal, such a maisa is considered enough to be given over to a shliach as well, even though it's not a direct ramification, direct pael yotze from what the mashal, or the shliach in this case, did for the shayl. True, it's exeris hakasev, but that's enough of a maisa, since there is a halachic ramification, even if it's not through his act directly, it's enough to be considered a maisa that he can give over to a shliach. Let's get back to the Gemara. The Gemara says afterwards, Ha'omer la'avdo, someone who tells a slave, Tzevi shaylan parasi, go and lend yourself out together with the par that I'm lending to my friend. The Gemara asks, does that constitute shaylan v'bailam? Because it's the evad of the mashal. The Gemara says, you can clear according to the man d'omer, shluch shalom k'maisa. It could be that's only going to be shluch shalom k'maisa, like Rabbi Yonasan. If someone sends a shliach together with his para to a shayel, over there we're going to say that it's considered shayel of a bailim, because the shliach has a bar mitzvah. The shliach is chayven mitzvahs like the mashal. Whereas the eved, who's not a bar mitzvah, he's not chayven mitzvahs like the mashal, we won't say the idea of shluch shalom kamaisai. The Gemara says you could say an opposite svar. Even if you hold ein shlicha shalom kamaisai, we don't say by shayel of a bailim but shluch shalom kamaisai. Nevertheless, if somebody says his eved together with his parah, we say svar of yad eved ki yad rabbi, and it might work to make it shayel b'maylam as well. The Gemara answered, Rava told Rav Elish that mistaber yad eved ki yad rabbi, and therefore it's going to be considered shayel b'maylam. Now, when the Gemara says by eved, we might think we don't say it's going to be considered shayel b'maylam because the eved is not a bar mitzvah like the mashal. And we can't take that at face value, because a person can make a woman a shliach even though the woman is not chayv and mitzvahs like the mashal. And everybody knows that the eved has a din of an isha, the gabi mitzvahs, so the eved can't be any less than an isha. So how could the Gemara entertain a havamina that Eved's not a bar shlichus because it's not a bar mitzvah like the mashal. That can't be. He's like any isha, and any isha can be a shliach. So Rashi explains when the Gemara says that Eved is la bar mitzvah and therefore it can't be a shliach. What he means is for somebody to make a shliach, the shliach has to be in that parsha, that's like the mishaleach. Here says atem gam atem. So we understand he has to be comparable to the mishaleach in that parsha. A man cannot make a shliach to give a get to his wife through an eved. An eved on the parsha of getting the kedushin. So since an eved doesn't have any monetary property, mashe kon eved kon a rabbi. So therefore, he can't be a shliach in regarding the parsha of Shiloh Bailam. The eved can't lend anything himself, therefore it can't be a shliach to say that there's going to be an inyan of Shiloh Bailam when he brings something as a shliach. However, in the case of Asan Rashi, many others, true, an eved generally doesn't have any monetary property by himself, but if somebody gives it to Mammon Asher and the Rabbi Rishuspo, he could have Mammon by himself. And also, it's just a technical issue over here. Punk doesn't have a yad, but he's not mufka from the parasha. Not comparable to getting to a condition where he can't be Mekadosh. Over here, he could. He has a technical difficulty in being Zaycha in something. And as we said, if somebody was mocked into Mammon Asher and the Rabbi Rishuspo, he could be Zaycha. Therefore, many Mepharshim have a hard time understanding what Rashi means over here. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban learns a different mahalach on the Gemara. The Ramban understands that what the Gemara meant to say that Eved is lavar mitzvahs, it doesn't mean that Eved can't be a shliach because he's not a bar mitzvah. Of course he could be. What the Gemara means to say over here is since the Torah said the word ba'olov, by ba'olov imai, there's a special reason to say that Eved can't be a shliach. Because the Lashon Ba'olov is mashma, it has to be Ba'olam Mamish. If it has to be Ba'olam Mamish, so the person that he sends would have to be totally comparable to the Ba'olam and not somewhat comparable. And since the Eved is not Chayv Mitzvahs like the Ba'olam, the Gemara has a tzad to say that it's not going to be enough to make it Shmir of a Ba'olam by sending the Eved as well. Unless we say a separate Svara, Yad Eved Ki Yad Raboy, which overcomes this issue of not being entirely comparable to his master. Now, Rabbi Kivager asks on this Ramban a tremendous kasha, which should come out according to this, that by Bala Vimar there's a special idea that it has to be totally comparable to the Bailam, and not just somewhat comparable, and it's not going to be totally in the regular rules of Shlichus. It should come out that if a woman lends something and she sends a shliach to deliver it, then according to the Havamina, since he is totally halachically comparable to the mashelas, to the woman who's lending it, then definitely should be considered shayla b'mayla. Halachically, they're totally comparable. And likewise, in the Gemara's Havamina, if a man sent the chayfetz together with the woman to be the shliach to deliver it and to work for the shayl, since the woman is not chayv mitzvahs like the man, she's not entirely comparable to the mashal. It's not entirely comparable to ba'olav. It should come out that l'kuli alma, it won't be considered a shayl of a ba'olav. The only reason Eved works is because Yad Eved Ki Yad Raboy. Otherwise, you have to come on to shlichus. The Gemara understands that if it's not a shliach that's comparable to the mashalach, it won't be considered a shayla b'bailam. It's a tremendous chiddush lahalacha. It's going to come out that, according to everybody, according to Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yeshua for sure, Rabbi Yeshua holds that a shliach doesn't work to make a shayla b'bailam. Even according to Rabbi Yonasan, that holds that one can send a shliach and make a shayla b'bailam, kashluch shalom k'maisai, over here the Gemara understands that it has to be a shliach dumya d'mashalayach entirely. According to the Ramban, it should come out a tremendous chiddush lahalacha that if a man sends a woman as a shliach, he says to her, he shoyel, together with parasi, to the shoyel, according to everybody, it won't be considered a shayla b'bailam. Kveger states with Tzarachim. One more nekuda on this amud. The Gemara's maskana is that yad eved ki yad rabbi, and therefore it's considered a shayla b'bailam when somebody sends his eved together with his para to the shoyel. And Luke Yosef brings B'Shem the Rambam and the Ramah passages like this in Simon Shin Mem Vav. It's considered Yad Eved ki Yad Raboi, and therefore it's Yad Shailo Abaylum. That's only in a case where the Eved is going on the das of his Adin, his master sent him. But if the Eved goes by himself and works for the Shail, it's not going to be considered Shailo Abaylum. Now the Nesivos really asks Akasha on this Ramah. It's mashma that if the Adin did send the Eved together with the Para, then it is considered Shailo Abaylum. The Nesiva says, L'chayr, the Ramah is passing against Taisus and that's Tzadik Tes. Taisus clearly says that if somebody sends his Eved together with his Para, we're not going to say it's Shailam Bailam, because the Eved to his master is like a Para. It's as if the master sent two Paras. He sent an Eved and a Para. He could send two Avodin. He could send two Paras. He sent an Eved and a Para. Since the Eved is the Adin's money, he's his mum and Bailov, it's as if he sent a par in the form of a human. Therefore, Taisus holds it's not going to be considered Shailo Abaylam. When do we say it's Shailo Abaylam? When the Adain agreed to do work for the Shail. The Mashal said, yes, I'll come work for you. And instead of coming to work, he sent his slave in his stead. In such a case, we say, Yad Eved Ki Yad Raboi. But Stam sending the Eved together with the par, he said, Sevi Shailo Parasi, that won't be considered Shailo Bebailam. That's just sending two kinds of paris. Nesivos doesn't want to accept that the Rambam is arguing on Taisus, and Nesivos says it's a clear svara, there's no reason to argue on that. So the Nesivos explains that the Ramah writes, and really that the Rambam writes, that if the Eved went on his own volition, it's not considered Shailo Bebailam, which is mashma, that if the Eved went on the das of his master, it is considered Shailo Bebailam. Nesivos says that theik is incorrect. If he went together with a para on his master's request, that also is not going to be Shailo Abaylam, as we said, B'Shem Taisus, that that's considered as if the Odin lent two paras. Just if the Eved went on his own cognizance, we'd say there's a Havamina to say that just like the Eved, Yodik Yad Raboi, if he went on his own cognizance, it's as if the Odin was Mashal himself. And it's considered Shailo Abaylam, Kamash Malon, that what the Eved goes on his own cognizance is not going to be considered Shailo Abaylam, but that is not to make an inference that if the Adin sent him, it will be considered Shailo Abaylam, because that, as we said, B'Shem Taisus, is considered that the Adin lent the Shail to Paris. Now, moving on to Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Ravot said, Manoshach, Yishayel havi, Yishayel b'aylam havi, Yisaychar havi, Yischiras b'aylam hi. The Gemara is talking about the husband is using the wife's nechasim. The Gemara had a suffix, is the husband a Yisaychar or a Yishayel? The Gemara said, what's the difference? Whatever the case is, it's going to be considered Yischiras b'aylam or Yishayel b'aylam. So he's going to be potter in any event. And that's taka the halacha, that a husband who's mafsed his wife's kelim, so the halacha is it's Shmir b'aylam. The question is, what happens if the wife ruins the husband's kli? What's the halacha in such a case? So the Rambam passes in Perek Chaf Aleph of Melechas Ishus that if a wife broke one of her husband's kelim while she was doing work, she's potter. Not that she's potter maker din. It's a takana. This way, people will have shalom bayis. Otherwise, if she breaks the kelim of her husband, then her husband's going to be machayver. There's not going to be shalom in the house. Going to be fighting. The Ravan asks, I don't understand why the Rambam says this reason of a takana. It's a push the shmir of a bailam. He's meshubit to work for her, and therefore she should be potter regardless. Al shmir of a bailam. However, the Nesi Kalim explains she to the Rambam the reason it's not shmir of a bailam when she breaks his kalim is because the husband's not meshubit to the wife the entire time. When he's taka working for her, when he's doing something for her, then it would be considered Shmir B'Bailam. If he's out running an errand for her, doing something for her, and she took the kli and broke it then, at that point it will be Shmir B'Bailam. However, while the husband's not doing work for her, he's not considered Meshubba to her, whereas the wife to the husband is always considered Meshubba the entire time, and therefore when the husband breaks the kli of the wife, it's Shmir B'Bailam, even if she's not actually doing work for him at that particular time. As she's al-kaponim meshubid to the husband, she has to take care of what he needs, and therefore, it will always be shmir b'baylam when the husband damages the wife's kli. Now, continuing on in the Gemara asks the Shailo, it's really explaining the Shailo the Gemara tried asking before, if she rented a para before they were married, and then they became married. The husband now can use this par. The question is he considered a shayil? So therefore, if there is damage to the par, he will be chayv to pay the masker like a shayil. Or do we say he's a seicher, and therefore, if there's an einus, he's going to be potter? To which the Gemara answered, he's neither a seicher nor a shayil, he's a lekeach, and he's definitely going to be potter. He's really going to be potter in any case, he's a lekeach, and the isha is going to be chayiv to the masker like any other seicher. Now the Gemara brings a riot to this, that the husband's considered a lekeach in the nechasim of his wife, from nechsei malug, that takonah susha is that a wife who sold from a nechsei malug, the husband takes away from the lekuchos, because the baal is considered a lekeach rishon. Now, it's not such a pasha deraya. Over there, the nechsei malug are hers. When she gets married, the husband's zaychanan is a lekeach. That's what the chomer masakin. What does that have to do with something that she rented, that he becomes a lekeach and something that's not hers? How is that possible? It's not hers. It might have a schus to use it. How could it become a lekeach and something that doesn't belong to her? So we're going to have to say that even though she doesn't own it, but since she rented it, schiris is memker l'yayim, according to many Rishonim, they learned it mamish is a din mecher for that amount of time. And even if you don't learn it's mamish a mecher l'yayim, you learn it's just a schus shimush that the seicher has in the thing that he rented. Nevertheless, there's still a seicher, a gvis a schus. He has a particular schus in this item, so therefore that the husband takes over from his wife, he's a lekeach from his wife, and therefore, here too, the halacha of Takana Susha, the gather that the husband is lekeach in the nechasim of his wife, will apply to something that she rented as well. He gets the schus to use whatever she brought into the marriage, and this rented, let's say, para, is something that she brought in, whether she is a bailus in the etzem para, or just a schoshimus, just a right to use it, whatever it is the husband takes over, and therefore he's considered a lekeach by something that's rented as well. Now getting back to what the Gemara says, that the husband's lekeach in the nechsei malug of his wife, Taisus says, although he's considered a lekeach and he's pater from einsim like a shayel, and he's pater from gnei veveda like a seicher, nevertheless he still will have the din of a shomer chinam, he's going to be chayev in pshia. Now Taisus writes that mesfara. It makes sense that although he has a right to use it, and he's not going to be chayav to seicher or shayil, but he still has to be careful not to be pesheya, that Taisus says misvara, he's going to be chayav by pshia like any shomer chinam. And Taisus says really this svara would apply to any person's lekeach lazman, somebody who purchases something for a finite amount of time, let's say he purchases an animal for 30 days, although he's going to be potter from Geneva, Veda, and Oinsin, he still will be chayv mshi like a shomer chinam. However, the Goyin points out already, the Rambam argues, the Rambam holds that a lekeach lazman is not only potter from Geneva, Veda, and Oinsin, he's potter from pshia as well. The Rambam holds like that, the Rashba holds like this, and the reason is, as the Mukesev explains, that he has a right to use this without any achrayas. It's like the Gemara that says that if Yershim Yarshim the para that the father borrowed, they can keep the para. They can use the para until the time of the Shiloh finishes. Nevertheless, they're not chayiv and oinsim. Because they say we Yarshim the para, but we never knew chayiv to be responsible for the para that our father did. But we never accepted that responsibility, and therefore they're going to be potter. So here too, he got this chus from his wife, but he never took an achrayas to watch it. Therefore, he's going to be potter even from pshia. Now, the Ksais in Shin Mem Vav Sichot Hei says something even deeper according to the Rambam. The Rambam really paskins in Perekhov Beis Melchus Mechira. He writes, what's the difference between somebody who buys karka for a particular amount of time and somebody who's makna karka leperis? The Rambam says, somebody who's kind of karka leperis has no right to do things to damage the karka, to build there, to dig. However, somebody who buys karka for a set amount of time, he has a right to build there and destroy and dig holes and do whatever he wants, just as if he owned it entirely for good. So the Rambam really holds that somebody who's kind of lisman has a right to be mazik. Not only doesn't he have a chiv shmira, in fact he has a right to be mazikit, and the person who gets it back eventually has no tain on him. Therefore, there's no way the Rambam could possibly hold that somebody has the halacha of a shomer chinam when he's a kohen lazman. If he's allowed to be mazik the thing he bought for a set time, he definitely doesn't have to be shomer. He definitely won't be chayav b'shia. Now, getting back to the Ikar halacha in the Gemara that the husband has a din of lekeach and he's potter. The Rambam gives a disclaimer to that. He writes, that's only if the husband didn't know that it was something that the wife borrowed or rented. And in such a case, the husband is going to be potter because he has a din of lekeach. However, if the husband knew, if she told him that it's something she borrowed, let's say, in such a case, he's nichnas tachteo, he takes over her din. If she's a shayel, he becomes a shayel. If she's a seicher, then he takes over as a seicher. However, the Ravid disagrees. The Ravid understands that even if he knew about it, he's going to be potter, because we compare the to the husband who takes over his wife's chos in the nechosim that she borrowed or rented, just like the case where the Yarshim, who Yarshim, a borrowed part that their father borrowed, that they can use it the entire time of the Shiloh, even though they're not going to be Chayav Ba'achrayas. Rabbi doesn't bring this Gemara as his Raya, but the Magen Mishnah actually asks on the Rambam, what does the Rambam do with this Gemara? Why over here does he say if the husband knows that it's a Parah She'ula, he has to take over the responsibility that she had? Whereas by Yarshim, the Rambam doesn't say that. By Yarshim, the Rambam lets them use the Parah, even though they're going to be put from Achrayas. So the Magen Mishnah really explains that the Rambam draws the distinction between a husband and Yarshim. When the Yarshim took over the father's chus in the par, that's something that happened in Mele, it happened by itself. It's not something that they did. Since it's something that comes by itself, they have a right to say that we're Zaycha in this chus and we're not interested in the Achrayis. However, regarding the husband, the Magid Mishnah holds Misvara, it doesn't make sense that he should be able to have a better schus than she does. Since his whole schus comes from her, Mimela, since she told him about it, that it's something that's shol or it's something that's rented, he's going to have to take over her achrayas if he'd like to use it. But of course, Kolzman, he doesn't want to use it, says the Magid Mishnah. He cannot be forced into becoming a lekeach. And therefore, until he uses it, he's going to be potter from achrayas, even if he knows it's something that she borrowed. Now, getting back to the Ikar Halacha, that the Baal is a lekeach, and that's why he's potter, the Paiskim have a very hard time understanding. Why don't we say something that's more poshut? Why don't we say it's Shmir Bebailim? Since she's working for him, and he got it from her, so he should be potter al Shmir Bebailim as well. It's even a bigger potter than lekeach. So the Ramah really brings a Mordechai that says that the reason there's no Shmir Bebailim in such a case is because since it doesn't belong to her, since the para is a borrowed para she got from somebody else, true, she transferred it to her husband, and her husband is using it because of her, and she's in his employ, still, since she doesn't own the actual chayfetz, she only has it by borrowing it or renting it. If she subsequently lends it to somebody else or rents it to somebody else, like our case in the Gemara, she lends it to her husband, that will not constitute a case of Shmir Bebailim, and therefore the Gemara has to come on to the reason of Lekeach. That's the Ramah in the end of Siman Shin Mem Vav Smah, the Shach, the Nesivis. They all bring rice back and forth. Anybody who wants to go into that should see the end of Siman Shin Mem Vav and the Nisa Kalem over there.
Now moving towards the end of the Amud, the Gemara asks the Shiloh, Kachash Basar Machas Malach, if the animal got more meager, it got worth less because of the Malacha, is he Chayav or Potter? So the Gemara answers, we say, not only Kachash Basar Machas Malach is Potter, but even Mesa Mach Malach is Potter, because he says, Lav lo ikma bekilta shilta. I didn't borrow in order to keep it locked up in somewhere. I borrowed to use it. If it broke during use, so there's no reason I should be responsible to pay for that. And the Mepharshim explained that the reason Gemara didn't ask Mesa Machas Malacha, the Gemara asked Kachash Basar Machas Malacha, because Mesa is a much bigger chiddush. The Gemara didn't dare to go so far in the Shiloh. The Gemara figured Kachash Basar is a vade. Mesa could have died for different reasons. And Kachash Basar he took into consideration. Mesa, he never thought it's going to die. And Mesa is a much bigger hefsid. Nevertheless, the Gemara says that not only is Kachash Basar going to be putter, but even Mesa Machas Malach is going to be putter as well. And the Raman asks a kash on this idea of Mesa Machas Malach as putter, because he says, Lav la ikma b'kilsa she'ilna. I didn't borrow just to keep it locked up. The question is, why do we say, by Mesa Machas Malach, he's going to be better off than any Einus? True, he didn't do anything wrong. But by every einus, if it just contracted a crazy disease and died, even though it has nothing to do with the shayol, it's not his fault at all. As the Gemara says in Amafkid, Malachamavas Malihocha Malihosam, nevertheless, we say it's chayiv. That's what happens when a person borrows something. The Torah gave him full responsibility. He has to make sure it goes back to the mashal the way that he had it in its original state. So why do we say that Mesa Machas Malach is going to be pater? How is it better off than any einus? So the Raman answers, the reason Mesa Machas Malach is pater is because in this case it was Pshias HaMashal. The mashal was negligent by giving the Shayel a para that can't plow. The Shayel asked to borrow a cow that is going to plow for him. And the mashal gave him this weak, sickly para. Of course it's going to die. That's the mashal's fault, that's the mashal's negligence, and therefore he's going to be potter. But if there was no negligence inside the mashal, the Torah says that the shayel is responsible to make sure that the mashal gets the para that he lent him back. However, when the mashal is at fault, when it's his negligence that brought about the misa of the para, in such a case, we say, he was mazik himself, and the shayel is not going to be a responsibility. However, the Rashba holds that the getter of Mesa Machas Malach is not necessarily because it was Pshias HaMashal, because the Mashal gave him something faulty. Even if there's no negligence mitzad the Mashal, since the Mashal didn't say that if it was Mesa Machas Malach, he's going to be Chayiv, the Mashal doesn't stipulate to be Chayiv even in such a case, so this much he knew that the Shayel is going to be using the, let's say, Parah to plow with, and he took on his Achrayis, it was Sover of a Kibbul. He knew that there is some sort of a risk that the para may die because of the plowing. Now, of course, if the shayel overworked the para, he gave it too much work to do, he put on something too heavy, then of course the shayel is going to be chayiv. But in the event that he used it regularly and the para died because of the work, since the mashal wasn't masna, he didn't stipulate that the shayel is going to be chayiv even in such a case, we say that it was sort of a kibbul, he accepted upon himself responsibility for any damage that happens to the para through regular workload that the shayel uses the para for. Now there's a tremendous nafkamina between these two shitas. What happens if somebody lends his friend an animal to go on a certain road? And on that road there were ganavim, there were marauders, and they stole or killed the animal. According to the Ramban, there was no pshias hamashal here. There was nothing wrong with what the mashal lent the shayel. The mashal knew where the shayel is going, what he plans on doing with this, let's say, donkey. The shayel wanted to borrow a donkey in order to ride on a particular road from one city to the next. But there was nothing wrong with the donkey. The risk that the shayel took by going on this road is squarely on the shayel's shoulders, and he's going to have to pay the mashal for the behemah. However, according to the way the Rashba understands, when the shayel expressly states what his intention is to use the animal for, or whatever he borrowed, and the mashal agreed, it's a sover v'kibul. He accepted upon himself the responsibility of anything that happens because of that particular job that he did. If the shayel said, I'm going on this and this road, and the mashal said, Gzuntahayit, go over there. Anything that is unique to that particular road, that because the shayel went over there, the behemah was damaged, in such a case, the Rashba holds the Shulchan Aruch passings like this, that the shayel will be putter, and that's also considered a Mesa Machas Malacha. Now there's another major nekuda point of conflict between the Rishonim in this halacha. The Ramban clearly writes, if an animal was Mesa Machas Malacha, even if it just got sick and got weakened by the Malacha and later on the animal died, that's going to be considered Mesa Machas Malacha as well. However, the Rambam holds that Dafke was Mesa B'Shas Malacha. If it died afterwards, even if the cause was the Malacha that he did before that, since it didn't die B'Shas Malacha, the Naisa Kalim understanding the Rambam, he's going to be Mechayiv of the Shoyal, that's not considered Mesa Machas Malacha. And the Nosek Kalim are puzzled by this Rambam. Why would he say that? L'chayr, the Svar of Lav Leikma B'Kilsa Shilna applies to if it just got sick, if it got weakened by the Malacha and died afterwards, there should be no difference whether it died B'Shas Malacha or afterwards. Why does the Rambam make such a distinction? Rabbi Zalman in Nevin Ezel explains the Shitas Rambam in a beautiful Mahalach. He brings the Machlekes Rishayim we
just mentioned between the Ramban and the Rashba, if the Gedder of Mesmachas Malacha is either because of Pshias HaMashal, the way the Ramban learns, or is it because since it was Aldas that he lent him the animal, Mele, if he wasn't Makbid, he didn't stipulate to Mechayiv, he definitely accepted on his Achrayis, he wasn't Makbid on the losses that come about through the use that the Shoyl declared he's going to use. However, Mr. Zalman says that the Rambam has a third mahalach understanding, the idea why Mesa Machas Melacha is Potter. The Rambam understands that the idea that Mesa Machas Melacha is Potter is because something that's aimed for that, it's aimed to be used like this, so that's what the Shoyl is for. And is he right to be Shoyl until the animal dies, or until it gets broken? If it's something happened not in connection with the melacha that he was doing, so it's not borrowed for that. It's borrowed to plow with, and Tom died when it was pasturing. But if it died because of the melacha that it did, that's what the use of the para is for. And he writes as an afkamina lahalacha between these different reasons. If it got tired while it was working, then it died afterwards. According to the Ramban, since it died because of the work that it did, he could say, you gave me something weak. You gave me something that wasn't right to do this kind of work. Mele is Pshias HaMashal, and the Shoyl is going to be Potter. According to the Rashba as well, since he knew what the Shoyl plans on doing, and he wasn't makbid on the outcome, whatever happens, the ramifications of what the Shoyl plans on doing, on his declared intention. So, likewise, even if it didn't die B'Shas Ma'isa, it died afterwards, but the Mashal wasn't makbid on the Taitsois, on the ramifications of what the Shoyl plans on doing. However, according to the Rambam's Mahalach, the reason the Torah pattered by Mesmach Malacha is because it's Oymed Lekach, he's allowed to use the animal until it dies. That's what it's Oymed for. That's what the animal is to be used for, to plow until it dies, until it drops. Mela, if it didn't die while it was plowing, he finished working with it, and afterwards the animal died. In such a case, that's not considered a Mesa Machmas Malacha, as it's like any other inus of an animal dying. Normally, when the animal dies while he's using it, he's going to be potter, because that's basically he finished using it. That's what it's aimed for, and now it's done. However, if he finished using it and afterwards it died, not every animal that works and gets tired while working winds up dying. Well, that wasn't part of the deal of the Shiloh. That's not what he borrowed for. And since he finished working with it and only afterwards it died, since it's not integrally part of the Shiloh that it should die afterwards, Mimela, it's not going to be considered a Mesa Machas Malacha. That's why the Rambam holds that there's no din of Mesa Machas Malacha but died afterwards. What died afterwards was a Mikra. It's happenstance. It's not what the Iker Shiloh was for. It didn't happen during the Iker Shiloh, and therefore he's going to be Chayv according to the Rambam. Now true, it's possible when it died during the Malacha, it's also a happenstance. It's not that he borrowed it to, so to speak, kill it but through using it. But since it's during the Shiloh itself, it's Kan Nimsa Kan Hoya, that's what it would seem apparently that it has to do with the Shiloh, with what he borrowed it for. And Mela, the Torah Patras, Mesa Machas Malacha. But if it's something that happened afterwards, even though the cause was the Malacha that he did before that, nevertheless, since it's not an integral part of the Shiloh, it's something that happened afterwards, and it's not Minei Ubei, it's not something that definitely had to happen because of the Shiloh, Mimela, that's not Bechlal, what the Torah of Mesmach's Melacha includes, and therefore is going to be Chayav.